It's only three verses, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. First thing I want to say this morning is, in our intro, is as our Lord's followers have always been a fickle bunch, during the course of his earthly ministry, he was followed by vast crowds. And at other times, he was followed by just a faithful few. But as the course of Christ's ministry became clear, even his own disciples were guilty of running away from him when the pressure became too great. We're told that on the night that he was arrested, according to Mark 14:15, they all forsook him and fled. After Jesus is arrested, only two of his disciples followed him to the home of the high priest. They were John and Peter. Peter, we are told, followed Jesus afar off. How many of you are following Jesus today afar off? Not a place you want to be, beloved. You want to always follow the Lord. He wants you to follow him and serve him. Peter would also be the one who also denied Jesus that very night. By the time Jesus arrives at Calvary to be crucified, only one of his disciples, John, is still with him. And after Jesus dies on the cross and his body is removed and taken to the tomb of a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, as darkness falls on that dark, dark day, all of the Lord's disciples are hiding from fear of the Jews. By the time Jesus had died on the cross and was buried in the tomb, not a single one of the men he had called was with him. Isn't that sad, beloved? Not one person was there. Even though the number of the Lord's followers fluctuated from thousands to a handful, there was one group that always seemed to be with him. Our passage mentions a dedicated group of women that followed the ministry of the Lord Jesus. These women offered him financial support and were absolutely devoted to him. In fact, one of these women, Mary Magdalene, seems to have followed him everywhere. She was with him during his ministry. She also wept at his feet as he died at Calvary. She followed his body to the tomb and sat outside the tomb after he was buried. She was also among the first to return to the tomb following the Sabbath. And of course, she was the first one to whom he appeared when he arose from the dead. While others forsook the Lord, she remained faithful to him. When others ran away, she stayed. What was it that produced this kind of devotion in Mary's life? I think the Bible has the answer to that question. I want to look at this woman's life and I want to find out what happened to her to make her love Jesus so much. I want to see if I can get a little of what she had. Again, I believe that there is a word from God here for every person. So let's look into the Word of God as we think about a woman called Mary. I think her life has something to say to all of us about humble, consecrated devotion to God. The first point I want to make this morning was that she was a desperate woman, speaking of Mary Magdalene. And before I even get started, let me just say something, clear something up. Mary Magdalene was not the wife of our Savior Jesus Christ, as some today want to say. They say that she was also an apostle. She was not an apostle. She was a disciple, a follower of Christ, but she didn't hold no office in the ministry. And again, let me be clear. She was not his wife. That's heresy. The Bible doesn't mention anything about that. Believe me, had it been true, it would have been in the Word of God. Now, she was a desperate woman. Let's look at the horror of her condition. We're told that Mary was possessed by seven devils. The number seven may refer to seven actual demons, or since the number seven is associated with the word completion, it may mean that she was totally possessed and under the control of the demonic spirits that inhabited her. Either way, Mary's life would have been a living hell. She'd have been drawn into vile sin. She would have been driven insane by the demons that controlled her. It's even suggested that Mary was a prostitute. But listen to me again. There's no biblical evidence that exists to support that notion. But what a horrible life. Can you imagine her condition? Let's notice the hopelessness of her condition. In that lost state, controlled as she was by demons within her, she had no hope of salvation. She would have been cut off from the temple. She would have been cut off from all help from a decent society. She had nothing to look forward to but a life of sin and insanity, followed by an eternity in hell. She was living a hopeless life. Can you imagine, beloved? Can you imagine? Finally, look at the helplessness of her condition. Since she was under the control of demonic spirits, she was powerless to change her life. She was trapped and totally helpless in her enslaved and lost condition. In all of this, Mary Magdalene is a perfect picture of every lost person in the world today. While most lost people may not be demon-possessed, they're still dead in their sins and trespasses and are powerless to change their condition. This is the clear teaching of the New Testament, Ephesians 2:1-3. I think you would agree with me that nothing could be more horrible than to be trapped in sin with no way out. Yet millions in our world are in that very condition today. They live horrible lives with no hope in their future but the fires of hell. What a sad condition to be in. Sinner friend, if you're under the sound of my voice, this is a description of you. You're lost in sins. And your only future, if you don't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, accept Him as your Savior, accept His sacrifice for your sins, your future is hell. Notice she was a delivered woman. We're not told the circumstances surrounding her conversion. However, some theologians seem to think she's the woman mentioned in Luke 7:36-50. Could be. Regardless, there was no reason whatsoever for Jesus to reach out to a woman like this. Surely there were reputable, decent women who needed the Lord, but the fact that Jesus reached into this woman's darkness and bring her into His marvelous light can be attributed to nothing but His amazing grace. Have you experienced that, beloved? His amazing grace. In fact, had it not been for pure grace, she would have died and went to hell. Jesus, however, was not content to let that happen, and He extended love, mercy, and grace to Mary. And He saved her soul. And sinner friend, He's willing to do the same thing for you today if you'll only come to Him. Now notice, she experienced the Lord's power. When Jesus reached out to this woman and delivered her, she experienced the power of God. She was instantly delivered from that which had her bound and was set free. That's the power Jesus possesses. When He comes into a life, He makes instant and profound changes. These changes result in the sinner becoming a new creation or creature, if you will. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. They result in a person being set free from the things that bound him. They result in absolute liberty. If the Son sets you free, you are free, beloved, indeed. Redeemed. Oh, what a word. You see, in the Greek, it means to enter the slave market and redeem off the slave block by the payment of a ransom price and to forever remove from the sale. You see, that's what Jesus did when he went to the cross. When he went to the cross and gave his life, it was to redeem us and to set us free from the slave market of sin. And he paid the price with his precious blood so that we would never, ever have to be sold in that slave market again. As I ponder that, and I pause, I'm thankful for my salvation. How about you? I'm thankful I've been redeemed. I've been set free. I've been given liberty. And I've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And listen, he paid the price with his blood. You and I, we're not worthy. We don't deserve heaven. We deserve hell, but because of his love for us and his sacrifice on the cross, we are free. My friend, that's what Jesus does when he saves a soul. He sets us free. Notice she experienced the Lord's peace. Think of the confusion that must have filled her heart and mind. At least 7 demons all talking to her, each trying to control her and have his will carried out by her. Yet when Jesus touched and saved her, the turmoil in her soul was forever quieted because only one voice was speaking within her heart now, and that voice was from Jesus. Jesus took the pain and turmoil that plagued her away forever and quieted the storm within her heart. Oh, what a Savior, beloved. He's still doing just that. Oh, how well I remember the confusion and the disquiet that marked my own heart before I met him. And I remember the day he stepped on the bow of my life and quieted the storm in my heart. That's what he does for those who come to him by faith. John 14:27. Put it simply, he changes absolutely everything. Has he done it for you? Is there still confusion and doubt within you instead of peace and assurance? If you'll come to him believing, he will bring his power and his peace to you in your life. And he'll change everything if you'll just receive him. And I pray you've done that. And if you've not yet done that, that you will before it's eternally too late. Notice, she became a devoted woman. After she met the Master, she's inseparable from him. Notice how her devotion to the Lord Jesus is displayed in the gospel. Again, verse 3. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Notice, her devotion is seen in her finances. It appeared that she was among those women that helped support the ministry of Jesus financially. When the Lord got her, he also got her pocketbook. There's an old saying, if you want to kill a Baptist, shoot them in the wallet, they'll die. But listen to me, the same should be true of us today as believers. In fact, the truth is, our checkbook tells us what our priorities are in life. I pray you're giving to the Lord what belongs to him. I pray that your priority is to support his local church New Testament church. I pray you're supporting the church so that we can support missionaries and get the gospel out and get it spread into the world. I pray you're supporting the church. Her devotion seen in her following. Nearly everywhere you see Jesus in the Gospels, you find Mary Magdalene was with him. She followed him as he ministered. She followed him to Calvary and watched as he died. She even followed his body to the tomb and remained there with another Mary. In other words, she went as far as was humanly possible. She followed him to the very end. This is his desire for you and me. He wants us to make him our first priority. He wants us to follow him single-mindedly and determinately. He wants us to live out the name of follower. With Mary, it wasn't about convenience, nor was it about a life of ease. For her, it was about love. And beloved, bottom line, you are going to show your love by following the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not following him with all your heart, then you just don't love him like you ought to. The reason Mary followed him is because she loved him. She knew what she was before she met him. And after she met him and he saved her, she loved him for what he did for her. And she wanted to be with him wherever he went. Think about that. Don't you want to be with the Savior? You should. Wherever Jesus is, that's where I want to be. How about you, beloved? Wherever he is, that's where I want to be. Does that same desire reside in your heart? If it does, feed it and let it grow. He's looking for people who will follow him. And finally, we see her devotion is seen in her faithfulness. All the disciples had gone away. Mary Magdalene was still there. When the women and the disciples came to the graveyard and found the tomb of Jesus empty, everyone went away except for Mary Magdalene. She stayed behind and she was rewarded by having the first encounter with the risen Savior. She was faithful to him even when others walked away. What produced this level of devotion within her heart for Jesus? Obviously, it was all that he had done for her when he saved her. She loved him so much for all that he had done that she simply had to be near him. I wish to the good Lord that we had the same heart beating within our hearts today. After all, he's done so much for us as he's done for her, as he did for her, excuse me. Let's take a moment to review what and where we were when he found us and saved us. Think about that for a moment. Where were you when you first met Jesus as your Savior? I was a staggering drunk. And then I met the Savior. And he saved me. And delivered me from the bondage of addiction. From the shackles of sin. Oh, I remember. How about you? Remember where you were when he saved you. Let's think about all we have as his children. Let's think about what he's promised his children for the future. Beloved, I know things look bad now, but listen, it's going to get better one day. You know why? Because he's coming back for us. Understand, he's promised us to be with him in a place he has prepared for us. in heaven. Oh, we have reason to love Him, to serve Him, to follow Him with pure, selfless devotion. Beloved, we just need to get about doing it, wouldn't you say? Amen? We need to get about doing it. So get ready to close. Question. Where does this message find you today? Really, I've preached about the three possible places any of us could be today. Are you lost in sin? If so, there is a Savior who loves you and will save you if you'll come to Him. Just that simple. Are you saved but not completely following Him like He desires? He can help you take that final step of devotion if you'll just come and ask Him to help you. And finally, are you following Him with all your heart? If you are, I want to encourage you. Don't give up. Get before Him and thank Him for what He's done for you and seek Him for His help for the rest of this journey. Beloved, we're on a journey. And I believe the journey's going to end soon. I think He's coming back for His church. Beloved, if He was to come back right here and right now today, are you ready? If you're saved, we're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. A rapture. But if you're not saved, you're going to be left behind to go through the tribulation. Let me say this, sinner friend, you don't want to be left behind. So, please, come. Again, Mary Magdalene was our example this morning. Possessed by demons. Vile, sinful, unclean. But Jesus delivered her. And sinner friend, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been. He's willing to do the same thing for you today, if you'll just trust Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we praise You and we thank You for the example You've given us here in the Word of God, book of Luke. And Father, I just pray people will take it to heart. I thank You for her example. After coming to You and being saved, Lord, her devotion to You. Father, she loved You and she followed You with all of her heart. And Father, help us to be like her. Help us to love You with all of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be devoted to You as she was. And Father, I pray if there's one here today that's yet come to the saving knowledge, Lord Jesus Christ, that Your Holy Spirit would continue to deal with their hearts and convict them and convince them of that need before it's too late. And Father, after coming to You and falling down before You, inviting You into their hearts, I pray that You'll strengthen them and they'll be devoted to following You, Lord. Because that's what You want. You don't want a portion of our heart, You want all of our heart. So Father, have Your way with those who this message is intended for. Your Word tells us that it'll never return void, Lord. It reaches its intended purposes. So Father, deal with hearts today. Again, we want to thank You for our mothers and our grandmothers and all those women that have influenced our lives for You, Lord. Thank You for allowing them to be a part of our lives. May we never take it for granted, Lord. Father, here may we love them and show our love. And Father, be with Your church. Strengthen Your church during this time. Lord, I pray that people aren't losing faith. I pray that people aren't going to be discouraged, but when we're finally able to assemble again in church capacity, Lord, that we'll have grateful hearts. Lord, we'll come. And we'll appreciate what we have. The old saying that you don't miss something till it's gone, it's true, Lord. I just pray people will open their eyes and realize we have a great need in this country and in our churches, and that's you and your church, Lord. I love you and I praise you. Again, I ask you to watch over us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, beloved, again, it's been good to be with you. Happy Mother's Day. Remember those it's our duty to pray for. Remember those within the body that are sick and afflicted. Pray for them. Pray for those that have this coronavirus. Pray for their recovery. Remember those families that's lost loved ones. And pray for your pastor. Pray for Sister Lori and pray for this church body. Again, I'm praying that it'll be over soon and we can assemble again and we can be with one another, because I truly miss every one of you. And may I say I love you. Me and Lori both love y'all with all of our hearts. Above all, we love our Savior. Amen. All right, until we meet again, God bless you. Take care of yourselves and stay safe. All right, goodbye.